Well, goodness, happy Father's Day to everybody. We are so glad. Isn't that great? I mean, we have some great kids. Michelle and Nolan put that together along with a lot of others, of course, all the families, so thank you for that. We begin our second week of the series that we're talking about, the Summer of Prayer, and we've already been blessed by so many prayers that have kind of been happening over the last week, and this past week we prayed for marriages, and we lifted up many of you over the last week. We've brought you to the very throne of grace and truth, and we pray that you are encouraged and supported and perhaps even challenged. I had a couple of people come up after me after worship last week and just say, I guess I need to go back and apologize to my spouse on this, or maybe I need to work harder at kind of connecting with my spouse. And so I hope and pray that that was helpful. On Tuesday night, we gather together every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for a prayer meeting on Zoom. We've been praying for one another and encouraging one another. And so on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, you're certainly encouraged to come and participate. And this week, we're going to be talking about families and how we can do that. So we're moving from marriage to families. And today's message is going to be a little bit different from the messages that I typically give. And I'm feeling a little generous today, feeling a little lighthearted today. So I'm going to change things up a little bit. So just be in store for whatever happens. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, that's right. We'll go for that. So I have some visuals that I brought with me today, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But before we jump in there, I need to share with you my definition of family. See, a family is a group of people who desire to grow together, who learn together, who love one another, who encourage each other, who support one another. Families are blood relatives, right? They're our bio families, but they're also families that have kind of gathered for a variety of different reasons or purposes. They're our in-laws or outlaws, whatever you all call them. There are people here in our church, you know, they are our spiritual family as well. And oftentimes we think of families, we think of like a husband and wife and a couple of rugrats running around or something like that, but we should be thinking bigger than that today. So think bigger. So yeah, we'll be talking about parents and kids, and kids and parents, but we're also going to be talking about our spiritual family and how we can continue to grow in that way. Now, as you all are aware, today's Father's Day, and there's a saying that came to mind that says the best way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Very good. Okay, so today we're going to be using kind of the principle of getting to a guy's stomach as a way of teaching some great biblical truths. All right, so we're going to have some fun today. And so today, not only are you going to use your ears, but you're going to use your eyes, and you're going to use your noses, and perhaps you might even get to use a taste, your taste buds today, to talk about how God's purpose for the family is so integral. So I believe God has some great truths today for us to show, and today, our first object lesson in terms of what we are to be about, we are called to bear fruit. So I brought some fruit roll-ups. How many of you like fruit roll-ups? Good. Okay, we got a bunch of people back here. So good fruit roll-ups. I mean, it's great. And we're called to bear fruit. And these are treats to remind us that God tells us that as families, we are to bear fruit. Now, bearing fruit could be in the form of children, right? And Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 shares this. God created man in his own image, right? In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. And after the flood, God kind of reinforces this idea by telling Noah. It says God blessed Noah and his sons, commanding them to be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth, right? Now, the birth of a child is nothing short of a miracle, right? And I remember one of the most precious moments in my life is when I got to see Caden being born. It was absolutely wonderful to participate in. In fact, probably one of my proudest days was being able to hold Caden for the first time. And the first thing that I did with her, I got to give her a bath, which is absolutely wonderful. And so that was just one of those things. But see, kids, I mean, they come with no instruction manuals. They come with no warranties. They're not refundable. They're not returnable. I mean, you get them. You keep them. That's it. You have them. And they are life as if life is itself. I mean, they can take it to the highest highs, and they can bring you down sometimes to the lowest of lows in life. And each child is different and unique and distinctive and special. And how you raise one kid is probably going to be totally different from how you raise another kid. It's just one of these things. However, not only does this mean that we are to bear fruit in terms of producing children, we won't get into the details of that, but what we are also to do is to bear fruit in terms of Jesus's witness in this world, right? We are called to bear fruit for Christ in his kingdom. You see, as believers, we're called to allow Jesus to shine through us, to radiate through us, so that the people in this world can see him in us, and then maybe, perhaps maybe, would see that unbelievably power and an authority and miracle-working Jesus, that they might have a yearning to be more like him. There's a scripture that talks about Jesus going into Jerusalem, and he passes this fig tree, and he looks at this fig tree, and it's the right time of year. There's blossoms on it, there's leaves on it, and there's supposed to be fruit on this fig tree. And Jesus walks up to this fig tree, and he notices there's no fruit on it. And so he curses the fig tree. Look it up. And he tells this fig tree, he says, you will never, ever bear fruit again. And I kind of think about that in my own life. Is if I'm not bearing fruit, if I'm not doing things for Christ, if I'm not allowing Jesus to radiate through me, then I am not doing what I'm called to do. So we're to bear fruit, right? Who likes fruit roll-ups? Quickly, come on up here. Grab it, quickly. You got to run. You got to bolt, man. Come on, here we go. This whole box is yours. Enjoy.
Thanks, sir.
You're welcome. And he called me sir. I feel nice and old. Okay, so let's see. What else do we have? See, usually the people who raise their hands first, you know, they get decent gifts. But let me show you what's behind door number two. All right? So speaking of bearing fruit and kids and family and honoring family, you know, in order to have a family run well, you need to have a what? A payday. How many of you like paydays? Yes, okay, we got some paydays over here. Now, this reminds us that it does cost a lot to have a family, right? In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, but if any provide not for his own, especially those in his house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I mean, that's how tough that is. If you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel is what it's saying, right? See, all of us need the basics, right? We need food, we need clothing, shelter, protection, security, right? And I've seen so many fathers and mothers sacrifice things for themselves in order so that their kids might have the best, right? So that their kids make it. I've seen so many times where parents have just taken less for themselves and they put their family first, you know, when it comes to resources. But in our selfish and self-centered culture, you know, this is becoming less and less likely. People are wanting more for themselves. Adults want more for themselves. They take and take and take, and they forget that they are supposed to give and give and give to their children, right? We want more fancy things. We want things for ourselves rather than giving to others. You know, there's a survey that tells us that the average father spends 7 minutes a day talking to their kids. Average. 7 minutes a day talking to their kids. So not only is resources important, like the money stuff, but you know what else needs to happen? Is we have to give up our time, right? That is our most valuable possession, is our time, right? Is ourselves. And there's no better choice than what a dad can do or what a family can do than to invest in the lives of those whom he loves, right? Their families. There's a guy named Kenneth Chaflin. And he was a seminary professor, and he often writes about how to build stronger families and how to have better relationships. And he was off, he was eating supper before he was leaving for an engagement he had to go to. And his 5-year-old daughter came up to him and said, Daddy, can't you just stay home tonight? Of course, that kind of like cut right to him, right? I mean, it pierced his soul, and he thought to himself, how could I tell her no? Because I have to go and tell others how a good father ought to be. Now, it was too late for him to cancel this event, but what he did was he sat down with her and he asked her, what does it take to be a good dad? And she helped him write his speech, helped him write his story. And as he was writing down, he jotted down some of the responses, and it was catch a fish, right? Fly a kite, build a fire, catch a butterfly, plant a flower, get a kitten out of the mud. You know, these were the things that she said. And he folded the paper and he went to his meeting, and while he was sitting on the platform waiting for kind of his time to be introduced, he looked at this list and it suddenly hit him. He noted that what his daughter wanted in an ideal father had nothing to do with money. It had to do with his time and what he could give her in terms of his time. See, your families deserve your time. They deserve quality time together, not just kind of sitting in front of the TV together, but quality conversational time where you can be together with one another as a family in order to honor them and fill their lives. Okay, paydays. Who likes them? I think the Burkholders. I'm going to throw it, a baseball player. There you go. All right. There you go. All right. Good catch. Good job. Good catch. Way to go. All right. Next. All right. Oh, an apple. All right. No one's like raising their hands. They're like, I don't want an apple. I got something else in here. Brian's got something else. If I choose now, this could be the worst thing you possibly get in this thing. No. Okay. So here's an apple. Now, what do you think this stands for? Teaching, right? We are to teach our families, right? We are to teach them. We have a responsibility as adults to teach our families. And kids, we have a responsibility to learn from our parents, right? In Proverbs 22:6, it says this, train a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. I love that. Our families need training, and we need equipping to be good people, not just be good people, be fruit-bearing people for Christ and his kingdom, right? There are real-world demands out there that we need to encourage our children on, right? Whether it's academic or mentally or athletically or socially or artistically, you know, they need to learn how to take risks and how to fail and that it's okay to fail. You just brush yourself off and you get up again, right? And over the last 50 years, there's been so many dramatic breakthroughs in research and technology and manufacturing, but sadly, during that same time, we've actually grown steadily worse in our ability to sustain and maintain strong, healthy relationships. And this needs to be a fundamental area of our training. All other competencies pale in comparison to the relationships that we need to develop. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, right? These commands I give to you, that it says, that are upon your heart, impress them on your children, it says. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Basically, you are to be talking constantly to your children, training them, equipping them, working with them, walking with them. But it's not just about your children. It's about all of us that we need to do that with one another. That's what it means to be a part of a family, right? We need to teach our families about Jesus. We need to reflect the love that Jesus has for us so that they might see the Savior in and through who we are. All right, I'm going to keep this one. That's the only healthy thing. I got to eat something, right? All right, let's see what else we got in here. Oh, beef jerky. Oh, see, all you who raised your hand earlier, you know what's coming here. Beef jerky reminds us that sometimes we just have to be tough. Sometimes we need to discipline our kids. Sometimes there needs to be discipline in our lives. If there's no respect for the rules of the home, there'll be no respect for the rules outside the home. There'll be no respect for the rules that God has for us. We are to be tough sometimes. Proverbs 19 says this, correct your children while there is still hope. It says that. Do not let them destroy themselves. Right? Discipline comes from the same root word as disciple, and it has this both a positive and a negative connotation to it. You see, discipline is much more than punishment. It's love in action, right? Listen to these words. It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines only those whom he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. That's unbelievable, right? And it's so difficult when we get held accountable. It's difficult when we get disciplined, but when we do get disciplined, when we do get held accountable, we know that it's for the betterment of our relationship with Jesus and relationship with one another. Now, sometimes our children are going to think we're jerks. They are. They're going to think we're horrible for disciplining them, and that's tough, you know, but we are not responsible for their feelings towards us. And let me tell you something else. I'm going to go on a little rant here. It is not our job to win a popularity contest with our kids. It is not our job. We are not. They don't have to like us. They need to respect us. They don't have to like us. It is not our job to win a popularity contest with our kids. I have seen too many times where parents try and be their kid's friend first, and then they try and enter into the discipline realm, and it never works out well. We are to make sure that we are parents, number one. And then, yes, it's okay to be your kid's friend. It's not a bad thing to do that, but we need to make sure that we have these nice, healthy boundaries between what a parent is supposed to do and what a child is supposed to do. We are called to live lives in that way, right? Now, there are times, not just with parents and kids, there are times in which as family members, we're going to have to hold each other accountable, and that's some tough love there, right? It's some tough love, and we got to chew on. And it's those moments in which we hold one another accountable for our actions and for our sinfulness, for our brokenness, that gets really difficult. But however, when done in a loving way, when done in a way that honors Christ, I believe when we do that, it'll end up being a deepening of a relationship, not a breaking of a relationship. Beef jerky, who wants it? There you go, back there. Oh, whoever gets it first, I'm gonna throw it really hard. Here we go, ready? Oh, look at that, okay. It gets better, it gets better. I'm telling you, what's next here? Twizzlers, who loves Twizzlers? Oh, see, I'm telling you, it's getting better and better. See, Twizzlers reminds us that life is gonna get all twisted up. It's going to get messed up. It's going to mix up, but we need to be flexible, right? We have got to be flexible. Colossians 3:21 says this, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Right? We have to have common sense. You cannot be too rigid. You know, life happens, and it's going to throw us all kinds of curves and twists, and we've got to have some flexibility, or we're going to snap. I mean, we know what that feels like when we're getting to the end of our rope, right? We've got to have that flexibility. So sometimes we're going to mess up, and sometimes our kids are going to mess up. And if it's not like a huge deal, you know what I have often found really helpful in a situation? Just to laugh. Just to take a deep breath and say, okay, God, this isn't as big as what I think it is. This is a minor thing. God, let's just walk through this, and let's walk together with one another. And sometimes you have to be able to bend, right? Or you're gonna break, right? There's a great proverbs that says this. It says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit is like dried up bones." Oh man, we are to encourage one another and kind of be flexible. You know, the other thing I want to say is it can't, and I'm preaching to myself, so you all can just join me for this part. This is a Brian moment here. It cannot be all work and no play. It just can't. And we need fun times, and we need play times, and we need lighthearted horsing around times. And it's okay to love and serve the Lord and have fun too. Friends, it's okay to love and serve the Lord and have fun too, right? They're not mutually exclusive. You can do all at the same time, right? But you know, do not let the worries of this world, do not let the struggles you go through damage you forever. You know, be flexible, go with the flow. I mean, you're gonna have times where you're gonna need to bend. However, may we always be strong enough not to break. All right, I see both Reams held up their hands on this one here, so here you go. I'm like throwing things at people today. This is like one of my favorite Sundays ever. All right, okay. All right. How many of you know this? How many of you know what this is? It's a little hug, isn't it? It's a little hug. I love these. I grew up on these things here. I have like 30 of them in my car now, and I'm only giving away 3. So, hey, I'm like set for the week. This is absolutely wonderful. So a little hug in a barrel reminds us that, you know what? All of us need a hug. All of us do. You know, it makes, you know, a nice hug kind of makes some of the badness go away, some of the struggles go away, and that's really important. See, touch is important. It's extremely important, friends, and I know that's tough. That touch comes with some baggage for some of you, and I understand that, but it reminds us of the pain in our lives. However, for many, whether it's a hug or a kiss on the cheek or a forehead, it sends signals of affirmation and affection that can build a solid and secure foundation. And so make sure that you hug your kids. Make sure you hug your family. Make sure that you hug one another, because that's really where we need to be. We are to love our families unconditionally, just like our Heavenly Father loves us. Do I want to be selfish? I want to give it to you. Come on up here. You can have this one. All right. I won't be selfish. See, I'm giving away everything, right? Here you go, dear. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Milky Ways. Milky Ways. All right. So Milky Ways remind us that our families future is out of this world, not in this world, and that we need to be thinking heavenward with our families, right? We need to reflect the God of the universe in our families. We need to impart spiritual values and spiritual truth to our families. What a misfortune it is to provide everything else for our family and then not give them this understanding of an eternal destiny that is coming, right? Everything that we say or do should point others to Jesus in our families. So we need to live out of this world. We need to be living with an eye towards heaven at all times. All right, Elizabeth. Then you raise your hand on this one here. All right. Darren, you want to give that to her? Thank you. All right. It gets better and better, I'm telling you. Three Musketeers. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Three Musketeers. All right. So here we go. Three Musketeers. It means it takes more than one person to help in a family. We need a group of people who will support and encourage and challenge and walk with one another, right? Being a part of a faith community allows us to do this together, and that's what this is all about. You know the Three Musketeers motto? All for one and one for all, right? I mean, that's how our lives should look like and feel like, right? I mean, I should be willing to support you all and your families, and you all should be willing to support me and my families and pray for I only have one family. All right, my family, and we're to do that as often and as possible as we can. I want to share that one of the things I know, and maybe you're all like this, one of the things that really gets to me emotionally is when somebody does something amazing for Jen or Caden. Like, that hits me emotionally. Like, I'm your best friend forever if you do that, you know? And so I'm not eliciting you all to do a whole bunch of stuff for Jen and Caden, but that's one of those feelings, and I'm sure you feel that way. When you do something, when something's done for your kids or when something's done for your spouse, it makes you feel really good. It makes you feel as though, hey, this is something that we're doing here together, and it's really important. Okay, this is a Burkholder clan. There's like six of them in there. Oh, there's six of you! Oops, oh well, there's five now, so. All right, here we go. Here we go, you ready? All right, Butterfingers. Oh, I see the Ramers are like, me. All right, the Butterfingers. Butterfingers remind us that we are going to mess up. And things are going to slip through the cracks, right? And we're not to get too frustrated with ourselves on those times, right? We are to show ourselves some grace and that we are to forgive ourselves in some moments here, right? You will not always do the best. You will not always be the best. You will not always act the best. You will not always say the right things at the right times. And that's okay. You know, I had someone share with me last week that they were a horrible parent because of the way that their children grew up into adults. And friends, you can only do so much. There's this horrible and wonderful thing called free will, right? You can do only the best that you can do. You can share only the best you can. You can only teach and equip and train and lead the best that you can do. It's going to be up to them as to whether or not they decide to carry that on for the rest of their lives. But you need to equip them as best as you can now. And so you need to don't let this opportunity slip through your fingers, right? Just allow yourself to be encouraged and support the things who you are so that you know that you're more than just a mess up, right? You're God-given. Okay, Raymer, here you go. Come on, man. You better catch this. And I say, don't have Butterfingers. You see what I did there? All right, there you go. All right. So that's what I got here, okay? So these are some truths. So when you're walking through the candy aisle, you can be looking at these things and just recalling yourself. What are some things that you can have? What are some things that you need to do as a family? And this isn't, again, just for parents and children. It's for children and parents, but it's also for us as the body of faith, too. Now, there are some rules I want to share with you that I try and live by each day, and I try and live by as a husband, as a dad, as a friend, as your pastor in the body of faith here, that I desire for my family to live by as well, and I fail at this many days, but I keep working hard for my family at home and my family here. I'm going to share these things with you, and we're going to move through these rather quickly. And so if you don't get them right away, you can go online and watch it on the video. Okay, here we go. Number one is that we're to love Jesus. Number one thing. That's a rule in my family. We're to love Jesus, right? We need to spend time in prayer. We need to walk with God. We need to defend Christ. We need to live and be loyal to the kingdom of God. That's number one right there, okay? Number two, we are to read our Bible and do your devotional. Whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you. If your family does it all together, great. You do not have to do family devotionals together. You can do it by yourself as well. Imparting the word of God inside of your mind, inside of your heart is going to lead you to wonderful and transformative ways. And so make sure that you read your Bible, that you do some sort of devotion, whether it's together or by yourself, just do it. Go to church. Do right. I apologize. I missed one. Do right. You know, whatever you do, make sure that you do it in a way that honors God and that you're doing the right thing, right? Don't do anything away from Scripture. Don't do anything illegal. Do the right thing. Next, go to church. There are no ifs in this sentence. I wonder if we should go to church today. That's not, no more. We're done with that. You go to church. That's part of our responsibility to one another. It's part of our responsibility in my family is to go to church and to encourage one another in the faith. So you go to church. Next, love each other. That's pretty important. Your family, right? You love each other. And you look for tangible ways to love one another, right? The way that Jen needs love is different from the way that I need love. Jen needs love in terms of quality time. I need words of affirmation like you've never heard of before. So when Jen looks at, I get all dressed up and Jen's like, man, you look good. I'm like, hey, yeah, this is awesome. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, make sure that you are encouraging one another and supporting one another on that, okay? So love each other. Have a plan. Friends, your family needs to have some kind of focus, some kind of direction, some kind of vision in your life. You plan your work and then you work your plan. It's very simple, right? Make sure there's a focus, right? You work hard. Don't do anything halfway, right? Make sure you are working 100%. Whatever your family is committed to, whatever your church is committed to, you work 100% to get to where God is calling you to be, right? You speak kindly to one another, right? Don't use harsh words. You speak kindly and lovingly to one another. Be a blessing, right? Look for ways to serve somebody. It's really important to serve one another and to encourage one another and to walk with one another so you serve them. You keep your promises. Mitch, you're a couple slides behind, man. I'm moving, brother. You keep your promises, right? You do what you say and you follow through with it. And if you can't do it, right, if you cannot keep your promise, go to that person and you tell them why you can't keep that promise so that they don't think that you're doing something horrible to them. Keep your promises, right? Be respectful, right? Respect people's successes, respect people's age, respect people's position, right? Respect all people, right? Have manners, right? No potty talk, okay? No potty talk at all. Don't do it, right? Have manners. Don't put your elbows on the table when you're eating dinner. That's not what you're supposed to do. Elbows off the table, right? You remember doing that. Be respectful of others, right? Have manners, no potty talk, nothing like that. Obey your parents, kids. Obey your parents, right? When children are young, parents are kind of directing them through their lives. And I thanked God when Caden got past that stage and I can move into more of a coaching style with her. And yet, even as their self-governance increases, sons and daughters still need to follow the family principles until they're out of the house, right? And so make sure that you honor that, right? Obey your parents. Smile. Smile. Don't make me pay because you're having a bad day. Right? Don't sour the family because of your bad attitude. Smiling even when you're not happy is a ministry to other people. Right? We do it because it's good, because God blesses it and God uses it to encourage others. Sometimes that's the most difficult thing for me to do, is just to smile, right? And then lastly, is you tell others about Christ, right? Always tell others about Christ, whether it's by word or whether it's by print. You do what God is calling you to do and you present the gospel and the love of Jesus to other people. You present Jesus. Those are my rules. Those are my family rules. There's a lot of rules in my house. And then Caden has to like do some things too. So, but those are our rules there. I forgot one more thing. Lifesavers. I love Lifesavers. And the reason why I have Lifesavers is because there's one thing that Jesus left us that can really save our lives, and that's prayer. And so as we kind of close the message here, I'd just like us to pray. And so we're going to pray for our families today. Let's bow our heads. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much for this day. And we thank you for the opportunity of just learning a little bit more and having some fun while we're doing it. God, we thank you for the opportunity to listen to your will and your way and your word. And we pray, Lord God, that as we continue to grow, as we continue to radiate and connect and live the transformative power of your son Jesus, may it just embolden us to be a better family member, a better husband, a wife, a better child, a better mom and dad, a better brother or sister in Christ, God. In all things, we just surrender to you and we just give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And the whole family said, amen.